Feel incredible!
Kongoku demo! It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes! Welcome to another Lord of Animation! 2/4 of the squad, man! 2/4, the dynamic duo.
2/4, we can reduce that fraction. We're here to half.
Half. Yo, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know my fractions. My fractions are horrible.
We talked about that last episode. Yeah. Fractions was not,
it's not,
our strong point.
Yeah, that's where I got fucked in school. Well, fuck it. The dynamic duo
exactly.
of Keenan and Rob, Rob and Keenan, we are back. No bitch-ass Ice, no hoe-ass bitch-ass Brennan. They're off right now. They got their own things they got to do. But, like, we are here. And you know what we do? First of all, follow that Patreon, man. Patreon.com/animation. Yes. SHUN. Make sure you follow. We get 100. They changed up kind of like the Patreon look right now.
Yeah, they did. They reformatted. It feels like everybody has. Gmail just recently changed up their design. Feels like everything's changing.
Yeah, I guess it's like, you got to change. Don't be afraid of change. Make sure your bitch ass up. So, yeah, join that Patreon still. Patreon.com/animation. We are at 84 right now. We still need to get that, 16? 16,
yeah, we got dangerously close by the end of July. We were at like 92 at one point.
Yeah,
very close.
Yeah, I know normally in the beginning of the month, it normally drops off and comes back up. So yep. Whenever y'all come back, let's try to get all the way to 100 so we can get this haircut for Rob. Y'all can all see it. It'll all be taped for you guys. It'll be a hell of a time, man. You know what we're doing here. One off, talk our shits, have fun. We are back, and we will be doing episodes 5-8 of Assassination Classroom. Hope you guys are following along. But before that,
yes,
we had a couple polls, man.
We did.
Had a couple polls. Rob, what you got?
We had a couple polls because, we haven't been around for a couple weeks, but we got a couple polls to cover. The first one we had was who is the coolest eye patch character in anime? Much like characters that you just have the eyes closed all the time. If the character pulls up with an eye patch, you know they mean business.
Got that smoke for you.
So we had four characters for this. We had Kakashi from Naruto. We had Zaraki from Bleach. So Cam, you'll have to weigh in on that. Mm-hmm. We had King Bradley. Or Wrath from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and Kaneki from Tokyo Ghoul. I wish Ice was here to weigh in on that a little bit. All cool characters. A lot of people had a hard time voting on this. We had some conscientious objectors in the comments saying, I can't choose. This is like choosing my favorite child. But, you know, for those that did pick, it broke out just like that. Kakashi got 51% of the vote, was the winner. Zaraki was in second with 32%, and then a two-way tie for third place, King Bradley and Kaneki.
I don't know Zaraki, so I would have put King Bradley second. And even what I've seen from Kakashi, I understand why he got first. Even though I haven't watched Naruto like that, but
yeah, I mean, again, just from what I've seen, he's a cool dude. I mean, I see where Gojo got his influence.
Yeah,
he's definitely Gojo. You know, the proto Gojo.
Yeah,
you know, he's cool. He's got the white hair. He's like he's
is he funny too in there?
Yeah, he's pretty funny, and like he messes around with the students and like he trains them like a little unconventionally, and then like but when it's time to get down to business, he's not fucking around.
Isn't he always reading porn books or something?
He reads a book called like Makeout Party or something like that, and it's it's a porn,
yeah,
essentially, because later like Naruto runs into the author and it turns out he's
joke.
Just like, hey, you shouldn't be buying those, like they're for people 18 and older. But yeah, Kakashi's pretty cool. I like him. Zaraki, Cam, tell us a little bit about this guy, because I know some people like him.
What's interesting is the whole reason why he wears the eye patch is because he's so powerful, he would win too quickly, and he likes to fight. So he's like, I'm going to dumb my power down so we can actually fight people. His whole thing is that he's so powerful that basically everything about him is something that basically allows him to come down to a level where he can fight for a longer time.
Honestly, that's kind of a common thread between all these characters then. Because, like, Kakashi has, like, he has an eye.
He's
got
it.
The Sharingan, I think it's called, so he can, like, copy other people's techniques when he reveals the eye, and it brings him up to another level.
Zaraki, I would say, he's one of my favorite captains in Bleach.
Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a good guy, but, like...
Somewhere in between?
Ichigo and him fight for a time, because when Ichigo gets there, they don't know who he is yet.
Gotcha.
No, he's a good guy, 100%.
Okay. cool.
But he's very
hairstyle is fucking wild.
He's that's another thing. He's got bells on his hair so that people say because he moves so fast, and if you can hear him, that means you're good at fighting him. So that's basically he does stuff to give himself away so that fights last longer and he can see who's actually up to his par level
that's
of
cool.
fighting.
Gotcha.
That's kind of that might be the cockiest shit I've seen.
Oh, 100,
or heard
it's
of.
Him 100%. Yeah. He's very also one directional. He's always like, who's the strongest person? I just want to fight them. I don't care about the mission or what's going on. Mm. I just want to fight the strongest person.
The fact that I have bells on me so you can hear me is so disrespectful. Yep. I'll be like, bro, take the bells off. Nah, man, just trust me. You gonna need them.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
So is he, Aizen, you guys are saying he's the one that's like crazy, crazy strong in this
he's
show, right?
He's the main villain, yeah.
For this guy, would he give him problems if he was eye patched out?
It would take him. He wouldn't definitely go down in an instant. I don't think. I think he'd give him a fight.
Gotcha.
Okay, but then you know, King Bradley, Wrath, obviously, like he's got the true seeing eye behind his eye patch, the ultimate eye, I think they call it, and like he just sees through everything with that thing. So I mean, obviously, he's got the powers cranked up. Me too, just because I haven't seen Bleach, I'd put him as probably my number two, maybe even my number one, just because I think he was such a cool villain.
He was dope, man.
I mean, that in that final stretch, his like charge through the tanks and that shit, oh my god. And then Kaneki, all I've seen is the bad version of Kaneki, from what I understand, because
well,
it's season one.
I think he wears, you know, the eye patch for the, because the ghoul eye will start going crazy or whatever the case
right,
may be.
Right, and it kind of hides his identity or whatever.
And I've seen clips of season two, and he's a monster for sure.
Yeah, because at the end of season one, he has that moment where
he turns up.
Yeah,
he fucking turns up. Do you think you'll be an eye patch character since you have glasses, Rob?
Maybe, but I feel like I would be more of a because like glasses characters in anime are like you just you have the whole like push up and like that they glow. I think on Instagram somebody was selling those and I was like so tempted to get them. They're just like glasses you can push up and they just go like light up or whatever.
Oh wow,
super dope. So I think I'd probably be more of a glasses character, but I, you know, maybe I
keep your glasses. You should get those glasses, bro. Just in case, like, you know, Brennan's talking some bullshit. Like, Brennan. Are you sure you want to do this, Brennan? And he sees a glass light, he's like, oh, fuck, man.
Yeah. Because when I think of glasses characters, you know, there's some cool ones, especially on like Jujutsu Kaisen. You got Maki with her glasses, and obviously she can put the work in. And then there's also the dude, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name, but the dude with the suit.
You rock with him. Yeah.
Like if we do end up doing a cosplay, that might be the guy that
it's an easy one, and he was a dope character. Cause he didn't die. No, spoiler alert, he didn't die in it, right?
No, because he and Yuji teamed up on
the fight old
that
boy.
Curse that like when they were just like
fight back. Yeah.
But yeah, no, those are some pretty dope characters. So that was our first poll.
Mm-hmm.
Not too surprised. Kakashi, obviously popular character. Not surprised that he took it. The second one, this was much more one sided. To be honest, not all that surprisingly. Anime superhero would you want to see in the MCU in honor of you know, Comic-Con going on that last weekend? And obviously there's a lot of people we could have pulled from one show. We tried to spread it out. So we had Endeavor from My Hero Academia, we had One Punch Man from One Punch Man, the Great Saiyan Man from Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super, and Sailor Moon. And
let me ask you something. Yeah. What made you pick these characters?
Just to get something random.
Yeah.
And
Great Saiyan Man. What made you pick Great Saiyan Man and not like
Well, I picked Great Saiyan Man because, again, I wanted to mix things up. I already had one from One Punch Man. I already had one from My Hero. Because, like, I could have just gone all My Hero. I could have doubled up on One Punch Man, but I wanted to spread it out. And also because, like, I wasn't surprised Great Saiyan Man didn't place in the top two or three. Well, he was in the top three, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, at the end of the day, like, it's still Gohan underneath that helmet. Like, he's a goof.
Yeah.
But, like, he can turn up and go Super Saiyan and, like, hit people with Kamehamehas and stuff like that. So I was a little surprised. He only wound up with 5%.
Yeah.
Even more shocking to me, nothing for Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
I thought she would get at least one vote.
And honestly, I thought people rock with Sailor Moon a lot more than I know.
Same.
We don't really rock with her like that. No. But like, I thought people in the Patreon actually rock with Sailor Moon, the show, and her, because I heard she's a monster for real. Like,
people said she's got like world ending
like power. Yeah.
Power. So I was surprised by that.
Yeah. So 0%. Because I think I would want to always, if you can give me, I'm always for like a dope female character in a show,
right?
To turn up and go hand. That's why I love fucking what was it with S Death. What are you watching? as
I can't think of that shit. Akame Got Killed.
Akame Got Killed. I love that show because of the female character representation on there was fucking dope. Like they was, I mean, it was a little busty at times in a sense, like, but they were like, they went after it.
They
like,
did.
They had no fear. They was fucking people up. Like they wanted that smoke.
Yep.
And so I'm always down to see that. So to see Sailor Moon get 0%,
I was very surprised. And now there's somebody in the comments did say that was like, there's other superhero shows that are out there that have other good female superheroes.
Sure.
I'm going to be honest. These are just from the shows that I knew.
Yeah.
Because I Googled, you know, anime superheroes, and there were other ones, but I just didn't know those shows, and I wasn't going to try to, like, put them up there and pretend, like, I know what I'm talking about when I don't.
Yeah.
But, so, obviously, Sailor Moon was at the bottom. She was in the basement with 0%. Great Saiyan Man, not much higher than that with 5%. One Punch Man, 26%, and then Endeavor was 68%, which did not surprise me. I figured Endeavor was going to clean up on this, but...
Really? You thought he would?
I did, because even though he's not likable, like... With the prominence burn and like the way he ended up ending season 4 against the Nobu, I was like, oh man, like fair. I think people would want to see that up on screen.
Yeah. So. I would love to see One Punch Man. I want to see if he was considered like a villain in a sense. Like they looked at him at, not him playing a villain, but they looked at him as a villain because.
Yeah, almost like a Hulk type thing where it's just like you're too powerful and like out of control.
Yeah,
like,
we gotta shut you down, something. Bro. Yeah. I want to see how they would go about taking him down.
That'd be pretty cool. Like a World War Hulk, but it's just World War One Punch Man.
World War Saitama just being like, how do we take this guy out? Because it's going to have to be magic involved. They either have to take away his powers or put him in a whole other alternate universe where he does some shit to where something else. Like, it would have to be something like that because, I wouldn't.
You'd be tough to contain.
Yeah.
One Punch Man versus Thanos would be over quick, I think.
Yeah. I feel like that'd be over pretty quickly. But, and you guys said you guys have seen Thor, the new Thor?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it.
Would you guys give it out of 9,000, I guess?
Out of 9,000? This is maybe going to be controversial, especially because I know Keith is in the chat, but I give it a 7,500. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit, actually, because I remember people were down on it, and I watched it. I was like, I had a good time. I laughed. I really enjoyed Christian Bale. I thought he was fucking great.
He was great.
Mm-hmm. He was so good.
Zero wrong with him.
I understand some people are just like having some issues with Thor being a little goofy. But I thought I enjoyed both Valkyrie and Jane a lot, and my biggest complaint was that we didn't get more time with them.
That's my biggest thing too.
Yeah,
I wish they would have had more screen time.
It's not my favorite Marvel movie. It wouldn't be in my top 10, but definitely. I still enjoyed it.
If you go
it'd
in,
be my
with
second
like,
favorite
I just
Thor
fun.
Movie for sure.
Yeah,
it's a popcorn movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't like a spoiler alert, guys. Spoiler alert. But I did enjoy Zeus. I thought that was funny. Having a
he was a funny Zeus character.
But then I do feel like they should have gave Christian Bale's character. I wanted to see him just like
they didn't show him killing any of the actual gods. They just said he did, and it's like I want to see.
I did want
to
see. More
I
want
to see him.
Too.
I want to see him work. So we can know the extent of like, what the fuck.
I meant 7,000.
I was gonna, that's what my score is.
Yeah,
I
my score is 6,500.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and it was because it's like I felt like this time. I guess this time I was even though I was expecting the funny, I didn't really care for a lot of the shit up front with Guardians of the Galaxy in there. Like I didn't really care for a lot of that. I was just like, all right, see them the fuck off quickly, get them out of here. Like I don't really care for them that much. And it was kind of a longer scene than I wanted it to be, for them in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason why Ragnarok was so fire was because we just came off two dull ass Thor movies.
Oh yeah,
it was a complete change. So everyone was happy about it.
Yeah.
Also, those movies, we were all in our heads that like they were moving towards something that like we knew that an Endgame and Infinity War was going to happen at some point. So this had to set us up for that. Whereas this, there wasn't like the hype for like what this was going to set us up for. It was just kind of a run of the mill Thor movie that Taika Waititi made, basically.
Yeah. So. I mean, I felt, for me, I felt like the funny in this was a little bit more predictable, and I felt like they could have just made it, I don't know, maybe a little bit more subtle, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely on the nose. Yeah, there were definitely points that were.
I didn't really have any real big issues, but I was just like,
I would watch this one over one, like The Dark World.
Oh, for one and two, so, for sure. 100%. I would never watch one and two again.
So
for what?
Yeah.
For what that's worth.
And especially, I think, coming off of... I was really disappointed with Multiverse of Madness. That I think this was like, okay, I was pleasantly surprised. Because I was coming into it and I knew the reviews were not great. But especially because like reactions online were just like, hey, man, like, you know, Marvel's falling off. But I enjoyed this one definitely more than Multiverse of Madness as well.
Yeah. And I guess before we get on to the recap, did you guys hear that they fucking canceled Batgirl?
I saw
which
that.
Is crazy.
It's
basically
wild.
For a tax write-off, it seems like.
Yeah.
Like
which if, they companies do that. If they can see it's unprofitable and they can make money off it, they'll
and
do it.
Not only that, they had like a Scooby-Doo movie,
yep,
I think, that was animated
sequel,
that was almost finished.
A sequel to Scoob.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that guy.
Yeah, that
too.
Also both got axed. Yeah. And like the filmmaker was just like, I'm fucking shocked and heartbroken.
Well, yeah, you're spending so much of your life.
He's like, this movie is almost like done and they're just like walking away from it.
Which is just
ridiculous. Well, they said for at least the Batgirl one, like they've been doing private screens and it's been testing horribly.
Oh yeah,
they said it wasn't even about just attack. They were just like, "Yo, we can't put this shit out. They're gonna fuck us if we put this shit out." And DC's already gotten a lot of bad flack. And it was just like, "We put this out, we're done for."
They're just like, "People, after the Batman, people are finally like trusting us again. Like if we put this out there, it's gonna be gone."
We'll eat 70 mil. I think it was
90 mil.
Yeah, it was supposed to have. It was supposed to have Michael Keaton back as Bruce Wayne or something.
In that and Batgirl?
Yeah, and Brendan Fraser was the villain.
And a buddy of mine does like a lot of cons and events, and he's been working with Brendan Fraser recently. And he's like, we were just at a con this weekend, and he was talking about it, like talking about I'm playing Firefly, like I'm excited for this movie to come out.
Wow!
And then Monday comes, and it's gone,
dude. Wow. That has to hurt.
That's got to be rough
for them to shelve, like, because when you go, all right, 90 mil, you're not even thinking about it's not coming. You're like, all right, we're good. When they saw they shelving, it was because of bad reviews. Because that's what I kept hearing. And then some guy, I was watching like a TikTok video, and some guy, like, he did the video, then he cut his video off, and he came back and said, I just confirmed, you want to look online for the articles, is testing so bad that DC's not risking this shit coming out for the public. Mm-hmm. He's like, they're not even putting this shit on streaming platforms.
How did they let it get this far? That's the one thing. I'm always wondering, like, who's the one who's writing off and saying yes to these things and letting it get this far?
From what I understand, it's because there's a recent merger, so it's kind of like there's a new regime, and they're like, like, basically,
like,
I don't think there's necessarily any one reason. I'm sure that there's something to it testing bad.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's new people in, and they're just like, listen, that was the old people.
We don't want to do
we're
that
in
anymore.
Here now.
Yep.
That's gone. Yeah. All these old projects, they're out of here. And then too, like, you know, like the movie, the producers, they're like, we can make more money with this being a bomb. And like, it's a tax write-off of essentially like we lost 90 million on this. So now we don't have to pay, like we can put that towards our taxes or whatever.
Yeah.
And they can make more money than they might have just putting it out on streaming, you know? So they were just like, well, you know what? Because of this, all that, all those things, it's gone. And it sucks. Cause it's just like, it was a very diverse cast, a very diverse crew. And like, at the end of the day, they're the ones that their work is fucking gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the only thing you would hope for is if they reshoot it or do another version of it, they bring back... I mean, I feel like Mike Keaton's going to come back at some point anyway, so he's straight.
He's supposed to come... Well, he's supposed to come back for the Flash movie, which has also got
my thing is
a lot of problems.
They canceled Black Girl, but they're continuing with this Flash movie, and the main character's on the run from the police. Like, it's just
some wild shit going on.
That shit is wild.
It's wild.
I was like... My thing is just like, bro...
I love how they're holding out, though. Like, it'll happen. Flash will happen at some point.
My thing is just like, I don't get... this is when I go like, all right, people have problems, and now we got to get to the shits, but this is like... There's no way I'm committing any type of issues if I got this in my pocket when it comes to like film. I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm just gonna stay in the fucking house.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna eat, order Uber Eats. I'm not going. I don't want no problems. I don't want to get no fights. Nothing. This guy's an idiot. But anyways, so before we get into that, shout out to Tiger, man. Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger. He sent us some teas and some coffee, man. You know, he's part of the Patreon crew. He came. We actually met him at Anime Expo.
Yeah.
And he said he's going to send us some product, and he sure did. Some tactical tea.
Some Moto Militant Coffee Company.
Yep.
I made a whole pot of it, and I have had way too much.
Yeah. Rob has had 3 cups of coffee. So
it's
that
very
shows
good.
You how good it is.
It's very
I'm going
good.
To take some of this tea home because I'm a tea guy instead. I'm going to take some of this tea home and knock this out. So we got organic matcha here. And
then some cherry rose green tea.
Terry Rose green tea. So, yeah, man, hit up Tactical.
Moto Militant Coffee Company. Yeah, check them out. They are online. You can order them online. Mm-hmm. It's been great. I've been drinking it today and really enjoying it. Thank you, Tiger.
Yeah, hit up Tiger, man. Support our fellow Patreon partners here, man. Appreciate that. So, Rob, episodes 5-8, Assassinator's Classroom. Recap for us, man. What you got?
Let's get into it. So we start with Koro-sensei teaching the class a science lesson when one of the students, Minami, approaches the front of the class and very politely asks him to drink some poison she made. Everybody's surprised at her honesty, but she says, hey, I'm good at chemistry, but I'm not really good at sneak attacks. Koro, of course, agrees and drinks all of her deadly concoctions, but all they do is make him change colors and shape as he identifies the chemical compositions of all of them. Minami is discouraged, but Koro offers to help her and make an even stronger poison later. Then Irena is complaining to Karasuma about how hot and awful the facilities are, and he tells her, hey, that's by design, and any requests he makes to the main school for improvements are essentially ignored. That evening, Koro helps Minami, and she admits that she's always had trouble with creative things like language and art, but science and math just always made sense to her, completely the opposite of me. Koro encourages her to keep working hard and gives her a poison recipe that he's concocted and tells her to bring it in and test it the next day. However, when Minami makes the poison and gives it to him the next day, it only seems to make him stronger, faster, and able to turn into a liquid. And he admits that he fooled her to teach her a lesson that she can't be comfortable just sticking to what she's good at, and that to be a good assassin, she needs to be well-rounded. Mm-hmm. Learning her lesson, Minami agrees to try her best. The next day, the teachers and the kids have to make a treacherous hike to the main campus for an assembly past faulty bridges, beehives, and dangerous animals. They are then lined up in the gym with the other students and mocked for being the end class. Elsewhere, the principal of the school talks about what a genius he is for inventing the system that motivates the students to stay out of the bottom by making them, you know, giving them somebody to look down on. He says that this system, the students are even more productive and grow faster than anywhere else in the country. However, in the gym, things took a turn as Karasuma and Irena arrive, and all the other kids comment on how cool and attractive the three E teachers are, and it makes them wish that they could get there, especially when Irena shoves Nagisa's face into her boobs. Another attempt at humiliation is made when Class 3E is denied handouts that the rest of the school got and are told to memorize all the info. But Koro is fast on the scene and makes sure that they get them all and copies them at Mach 20 speed. It's enough to get to boost their confidence of Class 3E, and when Nagisa approaches is approached by bullies later that threatened to kill him, he truthfully tells them they don't know what it's like to try and kill somebody, and the look in his eyes is enough to scare them off. Watching this, though, the evil principal notes that Class 3E is breaking his system, and changes will have to be made. The next day, Koro helps the class study for midterms simultaneously by moving so fast that his afterimage is able to help all the students work individually on their weakest subject, except for the bully in the back of the class who gets to study Naruto for some reason. Not really sure what that was all about. Nagisa worries that Koro will burn himself out, but just as he looks out the window, he sees one of the other after images is resting outside with a drink. Later, Koro meets up with the evil principal where he visits the 3E campus. Though Koro tries to butter him up for a raise, the principal is really only there to threaten him and say that he must, you know, you must be sad, intending to be the world's savior only to become its villain and threatening to destroy it. And goes on that as principal, he needs to think about his school's future. And should the Earth survive, he needs Class 3E to stay on the bottom to make his system work. And Koro is ruining that system by inspiring his students to be better. He tells them to keep his students in line, tosses him a puzzle that frustrates him, which Nagisa, you know, who's spying on him, notices is another weakness he has. Mm-hmm. And on his way out of the classroom, the principal says that there are some problems Feed can't solve. The next day, Koro tries even harder to inspire his students, making even more after images, and the students worry that he is pushing himself too hard. He says that he wants them to do well on their test, and that they want to get the 10 billion for killing him, they'll be able, or they say that if they're able to kill him, they'll be able to, you know, live lives of luxury without the good grades, so they don't really see the point. Frustrated, though, Koro brings the class outside and explains that being a good assassin means having multiple plans, that they are avoiding they're avoiding the reason that they feel inferior. He tells them that he wants them all to score in the top 50 of the class, or else he will demolish the campus and leave for good, and he demonstrates his power by flattening a weeded yard and turning it into a track and field in the blink of an eye. The next day at the test, the kids are struggling with the questions and picturing them as monsters eating them up. However, when they stop panicking and start looking at the questions one by one, they realize they are beatable and start racking up right answers. That is until the 11th question, added by the principal at the last second, which causes them all to drop in the rankings out of the top 50. Karasuma, on the other hand, and the other teachers call to complain, but are told that, you know, them's the breaks. Koro is depressed and can't even face the class, but that is until Karma, after throwing a knife, presents his perfect test and says that Koro taught him everything he needed to know. And he has the opportunity to move up to the next class, but would rather stay. And if Koro decides to leave, he's basically just scared and using it as an excuse to leave a hard situation. The students start to mock Koro, saying that he's scared the whole time, and it's enough to break him out of his depression. He promises he will get his revenge by getting them all high scores on their finals. Next, we join the class on a two-parter as they are getting ready for a field trip to Kyoto. Karasuma preps them with, what is his two-day trip, and it will be a perfect time to try an assassination, and that there will be snipers placed around the city to help them. So plan your tours accordingly. Class breaks up, and Nagisa teams up with Sugino, Karma, Manami, and Katie. And K-A-E-D-E. I'm just going to say Katie. It turns out that they need a sixth member, so Sugino picks a popular girl that he has a crush on named Kanzaki. And Koro hands out incredibly thick tour guides he made himself to all the students. Though Class 3E, of course, gets put in the worst part of the train, they have fun on their travels, playing games and making new, better nose for Koro to blend in. However, when Katie, Manami, and Kanzaki go to get some drinks, they bump into some mean-looking high schoolers who steal their itinerary and plan to find them later. Once they arrive in Kyoto, they find out that Koro gets motion sickness on trains, another weakness. And then they find they set out sightseeing and see lots of places where famous assassinations took place. Later, though, they find themselves in a dark alley and the high schoolers spring a surprise attack. Though Karma beats up one of the high schoolers, they are just too strong altogether, and they manage to beat up the boys and kidnap Katie and Kanzaki while Manami is able to hide. Though they're outmatched, they resolve to rescue their classmates, and lucky Koro even put instructions for that in his guidebook. The high schoolers stash the girls in a nearby warehouse, and it turns out that they recognize Kanzaki because she used to get dressed up and hang out at the arcade with the bad kids. And she tells Katie that it was a phase she went through trying to be a rebel and wound up landing her in the end class.
Wait, because this is middle school. How old? Was she in the sixth grade doing this?
Must have been like fifth or sixth grade. Like, I mean, I remember
people were wild in the sixth grade, but we wasn't able to get into bars and get alcohol.
Like, was she drinking?
I thought it was like a thing of a picture of her. She had something, a drink in her hand. I don't know if it was alcohol or not.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, she must have been, like fifth or sixth grade, just hanging out at the arcade, hanging with the bad crowd. But the high schoolers think, hey, that's pretty cool, because they shirk titles in the elite. But when they start to think Katie looks down on them, they start choking and threatening her, saying, hey, we'll all hang out back in Tokyo, too. Luckily, though, the boys show up soon with Koro, and they team up to take out the high schoolers, though it's mostly Koro, of course. Their leader says that, hey, you guys all look down on us, but Koro says that this is the end class, and they're regarded as the lowest of the low in their school, but they still aspire to act like good people despite that. And with that, the boys knock out all the kidnappers by slamming them with the huge guidebooks. Afterwards, they thank Koro for saving them, and Kanzaki feels much better and less ashamed for her past as someone who liked video games, I guess. We then transition to the other groups of students as they take in an open-air train through the wilderness, and Koro is with them, but he doesn't know that they are luring him into a trap to be shot by a pro sniper named Red Eye. However, when the shot goes off, Koro easily catches the BB-stuffed bullet in a piece of food, much to Red Eye's shock. Later, Red Eye watches Koro as he takes the students to a samurai duel reenactment. He plans to shoot him during the show, but Koro ends up joining in the fight, and Red Eye isn't able to get a good shot. Next, Yu follows him to a market and shoots at Koro from a hidden tower, but he uses a pore cleansing strip, and somehow the gunky mucus that comes out of his face is enough to stop the bullet. Absolutely disgusting. He is starting to think about quitting when Karasuma calls him and says, hey, because of this incident that happened with Nagisa's group, they're going to call off the rest of the attempts for the day. As Red Eye walks the streets that night, he thinks about how he has never had a target he couldn't kill before this, but it's not long before Koro confronts him himself. And he looks like he might kill Red Eye, but instead he takes him out to dinner, tells him about how learning about a city for an assassination inspires the kids to learn more about Kyoto and its history. And Red Eye can't make heads or tails of his target, just tells him, hey, like, if you're going to kill me, like, let's just get this over with. But Koro just feeds him some food and lets him go. Afterwards, Red Eye quits the job and decides to go see the world, travel the world, just not as an assassin for a while. Just go see the world as it is. That night, the kids relax and have fun at the hotel playing video games and table tennis, and even Karasuma decides to take it easy for the night. And they have a fun night as they try to spy on Koro, see what he looks like under his robe. And then Koro retaliates by spying on the boys group as they talk about girls and where Karma admits he has a thing for Manami. And then later the girl group as they talk about boys, where Manami seems to return Karma's affections. And they try to get dirty stories out of Irena as she gets hammered. Of course, both groups wind up getting mad at him and chase Koro down the hallway, forcing him to hide in Karasuma's room. Koro spills the beans about what he had heard and says that, you know, he's had a lot of romance in his life. And Karasuma asks if that was when he still had two arms and two legs. And all of a sudden, shit gets awkward. Still, Karasuma drops the subject, says, hey, I really shouldn't be asking you about that. And Koro agrees and says he's not ready to talk about it. Before bed, though, Nagisa and Katie talk about how much they've enjoyed the trip and the school year and how much they still want to experience, and which they'll, you know, eventually have to kill their teacher to do that. But finally, after the credits, we get a quick scene with Karasuma talking to his shadowy government bosses. And he says that their efforts are failing, and the council says that they will be hiring two very special child assassins that will soon be joining Koro's class. And that's where we left off on episode 8 of Assassination Classroom.
One of those kids gave me like a, thank you, Rob, for the recap, of course,
for
as
sure,
always.
For sure.
Gave me a Killua vibe. His silhouette, anyways.
I could see that.
Yeah, at first. And then when I looked over the next episodes, it had like
the teaser, yeah, the thumbnail or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm watching it on Funimation. And was there an afterclip on one of your Crunchyroll ones where like they brought in like another student that was like a machine?
Oh, I don't think I saw anything about that.
So Funimation's doing some other shit. Like they're doing like these little 2 minute tidbits after the episode.
I haven't been seeing any of that.
Yeah, it was like it'll be an episode, and then it won't go to episode 7. It'll go to this 2 minute clip of like they brought in this artificial student, I guess, where it's like they're talking to like a robot, and they're sitting there in class. You can kind of see them like on, I think, like maybe even like on a screen or whatever, and then all of a sudden it starts shooting out these guns.
Huh.
And then it doesn't hit him. He's like, see, blah blah blah. And he goes, all right. Attempt number is, then it gives the percentages. It goes, yo, I have a 0.0% chance of killing you this time. The next time I have this percentage of a time, this time I have this percentage of the time, this time, but it's like by time, like some months go by, and this attempt, I'm gonna have like a 90% chance to kill you. And then it shows this student shoot again, and it ends up, I guess, hiding a bullet behind another bullet, so he figures it's going to happen. The same thing's going to happen again, and then he gets hit with a bullet. He's like, oh, shit. She's like, yeah, motherfucker, like, on some, I'm going to get you.
Oh,
like,
wow, no, I haven't seen any of that.
I just keep getting better and better, so I'm going to eventually kill you in this shit. So,
huh.
Yeah, that was, they showed, like, two or three different ones of that. So I was wondering if they did it on Crunchyroll.
No, I haven't seen any of that on Crunchyroll. I don't know if I'm just missing it, but, I mean, it's not in the episode.
It's weird
list.
How they're even doing it on Funimation, but it is Funimation, and you know they've been I don't know, you know.
Yes.
So first question, man. Do you think the animation squad can kill this teacher? Right. We'll include Cam on this with us. Right.
Okay.
So the whole squad, you, me, Brennan, Ice, Killer Cam. Fuck it. At our age now.
All right.
Could we at our
kill,
age now,
could we kill the guy?
Could we get this? Could we get it done in a year?
Mm. Mm. Didn't we have an idea how to do it?
We had a couple plans.
Yeah,
I think we can get it done because one, we're going to immediately work together.
Yeah,
that's number one.
There won't be like infighting or anything. Like
right,
that.
Because I felt like when I was watching this show, that's what annoyed me immediately. I would have been like, bro, first day. It's going to take all however many students. If it's 30 students, it's going to take all 30 of us to get this shit done. So we need to meet up secretly.
Make a plan,
and go through it day by day to get this shit done. Because
yeah.
It's not going to happen with you. Can't do it on your own. It's just not going to. And we can split this money 30 different ways. We're still rich, in a sense. We still got money.
Yeah.
And mostly it's to save the end of the world as well.
Yeah, I guess.
That too, I suppose. I guess
we'll add that in there. But I mean, I think... if we worked together, we wouldn't get it done immediately. But I think we would have some tactics. We'll have our strengths. We know we'll be willing to take certain risks. And we know that he can't kill us. So we'll be even more riskier in those takes, in a sense.
Yeah.
And I do think we would, of course, us being older, we would have went at it pretty, like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's $74 million.
Yeah.
10 billion yen.
Yeah, so if we spend, even if we're splitting that, what, five ways between us?
That's
it's
still,
like,
money. I'll
still pretty
money.
Good.
I would take
I don't think we get it done early. I do think we're close to the deadline when we get it done, though. So I think we get it done, but I don't think we get it done early. I think we get it done like month 10.
I mean, yeah, it's a lot of trial and error, so.
Yeah, I think around month, between me, I have it, my prediction will be between month 8 and month 10 is when we get the job done. What you got, Rob?
Hell no. I don't think we're getting that done. Now, I was very optimistic of you to be like, oh, we're all going to work together. We're at first planning meeting. Ice is going to come in with an idea. Brennan's going to come in with another one. And they are going to just clash.
This is true. It's
going to
be. It's really up to Rob, me, and you, Keenan.
The people that are here right now.
But here's my thing. My thing was to be like, all right, cool. I'll say this. We got a year. Brennan, let's try yours.
Sure.
It's going to be trial and error. Because, like, losing, he can't kill you. So, like,
right. My thing is, like, all right, bring your individual plan, what you think we should do. We got time. Let's try all five of those. Okay. All five of those didn't work. Now
we got to work together to brainstorm.
Yeah, we got information, though. When I mean all five, like, help me out. I need Rob to do this.
It takes all of us to do each person's idea.
Right. Now we have, all right, this is what kind of worked. This is what didn't work at all. This is what we got some strengths on. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. Now we can go about building multiple solid plans to get it done. Mm-hmm. But I do agree at the beginning. We don't come at it that way. We go, all right, let's see whose plan we're going to do first. It's like, nah, all right, fuck it. Who cares? Let's do Rob's plan first.
Okay.
Let's do Brennan's plan first, whoever's first. Mm-hmm. And then let's go about it. Let's do Ice's plan first. And then, all right, whatever bombs, and we go on to the next one. And then we move from there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I give it a maybe. I feel like I can't say solidly yes, but, I think we would give it a – I think we'd wound him. I don't think it'd be like – I think we'd get some in on him, you know.
We wouldn't totally lose, but
– Right.
Right.
But it would be tough, man, because he's hard to kill. Dude moves at Mach 20. I mean, granted, like, he wouldn't necessarily, you know, be able to retaliate or whatever, but
yeah,
it would take some doing. Though I do think we'd be trying way harder than these kids are right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Because I also, too, that there was a scene in here where I think it might have been a principal where he was just like, yo, speed isn't everything.
Yeah.
And that's, I would imagine you could
use the speed against you.
That too, and I automatically thought of boxing. Like, mm-hmm. there's faster boxers out there, and be like, this is how you neutralize speed. Speed can always be neutralized. It's not mm-hmm. the master of all in the sense of fighting or getting away from shit. So it's like, that's when we would have to understand that. And we're like, all right, cool. Find a way to lock down that speed to where we can use it to our advantage against him, and then go from there. And then, so at least that's how I thought about it. But
Hey, you're boosting my confidence. Maybe we could do it.
Rob is not convinced.
I'm
Rob,
seeing
like,
the light. I'm just like, man.
Rob, you know what? Rob gets his message. We gotta
Rob
kill
would
it.
Be secretly preparing for the end.
Yep.
And being like, I'm already Andre, good.
I'm wrapping up all my affairs. Andre, <yo. laughs> getting everything in order. What do I gotta do?
All right, man. Just fuck it. next question. Do you think adding these two kid assassins to the class will add to the action, or do you think the show will remain in this gear, Rob?
This is kind of what's keeping me intrigued on the show, is that even them teasing these new characters, and hopefully there's a bit more of an adversarial relationship, because kind of the idea that, like, they're all just friends with this teacher, I just don't feel like there's a whole, even though, like, the world is supposedly going to end, I'm having trouble, like, locking in on what the stakes are, because it feels like kind of everybody's just, like, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope this changes up the dynamics a little bit, in that, like, okay, this changes things and these kids aren't. Because, like, I thought when Karma came in, it was going to be like, okay, this guy.
That's the big change.
Is going to make, because it's going to be a problem for Koro.
Yeah.
And he was for, like, an episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, he kind of, like, fell into the back. And if they just kind of repeat that with these two characters, I think that would be a big misstep. So. Mm. So, you know, I'll be optimistic. I say this will change up something. I think this is going to have to change it, or else it's just the same as bringing in Karma.
Yeah.
So I'll say this changes it, because I think the show needs to find another gear.
Yeah. I'm with you. The stakes have been dead to me. Like, I just don't believe he's going to blow up. I whatever happens, he's not blowing up the world to me. I just don't believe it as right now.
Right.
As of right, like, and I'm with you too. As of right now, the kids are too friendly with him.
Yes.
They're not taking it as serious. It seems like the government's not taking it as serious. And to be honest with you, I was kind of talking to Cam beforehand about this. This show seems like it's kind of leaning more towards not even about assassinating him. It's leaning more. Besides this last episode right here that happened, this seemed like this was talking more about classism and about how, you know, trying to keep certain people at a certain level, essentially, like, we need to create workers and we need to create the elite. These kids are the elite that's going to run our country soon, yeah. And these motherfuckers are going to be the ones that work for them. We need you motherfuckers to be here. Yep. And that's what the show was starting to turn into for me the past few episodes before the last one. It was turning into more of a showing you the classes of people and how it really is when it comes to the government, how they kind of view us in that sense.
Yeah, sure. Somebody's got to flip a burger.
Somebody's got to do the dirty work in a sense. And then somebody has to, you know, employ them in a sense.
Yeah. And which is like, that's the thing. It's like somebody's got to flip a burger. But where this principle sucks is just like, we don't have to fucking look down on somebody because they're doing that. It's their job.
Well, and it's crazy because this is technically an elite school. And this is just the bottom of the elite school, which means they're better than the regular school.
Right.
So it's just like, why would you do them that way? If anything, I understand why you'd be like, all right, because my thing was, it's like, oh, this kind of gave me the mentality of like private school versus public schools. It's like when I walk, I said this before multiple times on the show, but when I went to go shoot that short film at this private school in Chatsworth, and I saw their curriculum, I was just like, bro, I didn't learn this shit until college. And this is crazy to me.
Yeah.
And that's why these kids are so far ahead. When you're talking about certain things and investing and certain lingo, you're like, bro, what? You're like, oh, I learned that like in eighth grade. And you're just like, I didn't learn that until sophomore year of college in this particular business class. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, or when you're going into some of your college courses and you're just like, why am I struggling? And this kid over here just got the test done in 15 minutes and then gets it back and he has like an A or A minus. You're just like, what am I doing wrong?
Right.
It's just like, you're prepped for it.
Exactly. So it was taking that turn to me. I'm glad they're going to add these two kids. And hopefully these two kids are something special because as of right now, I don't really care about any of these kids in here, even the main character.
I don't disagree with that at all.
I don't care that he's taking notes and be like, all right, this is clue number 11, how we got a weakness on him. It's just like, it doesn't fucking matter to me right now.
It doesn't
now.
Seem to be adding up to anything. You're just using it as a punchline.
Right. And it's just like, right now, to me, the stakes aren't high since he's not evil. He's fun.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's been like, yo, I just fucking blew up Australia, motherfuckers. You think I'm playing with you? Yeah. I'm not playing with y'all.
Yeah.
And so that's where the stakes to me are just like you said, the stakes are just like, I don't really care. Like,
right.
You know, in a sense. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think I'm hoping these two kids take it to the next. I hope that one of these kids isn't that small clip that I saw.
I see what you're saying.
And then, like, they just chopped it up from a Funimation standpoint and threw it in there for some reason.
That'd be a weird thing to do. It's maybe.
It's Funimation, man.
Yeah, no, it's true. That's very true.
All right. So, next question. Do you think your middle school friends can get the job done?
No way.
Absolutely not. We would have blown ourselves up.
Yo.
Which we almost did on occasion. So.
Oh, man. You know what's funny? Yeah, we'll be hooping. We'll be like, man, fuck this guy, man. We're going to play. Let's go to fucking Janesta or go fucking to Galt. We used to go play at his elementary called Galt. We used to go to the basketball at. We'll be like, man, let's go hoop, man. We wouldn't even take this shit serious.
Yeah.
Like, and then the pressure would be on us, and we'd just be like, I think for us, we'd just be like, yo, why the fuck are you pressuring fucking seventh graders or whatever the fuck we are? To save the world. This is your job. You're not even giving me the weaponry. You're giving me a knife and a handgun. Yeah. Like, right now, I'm just trying to... The only reason why I'm still interested in this show is because I'm trying to figure out what it's really about. Because right now, it's not really keeping me, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is... I'm trying to see if I can win that game of, like, what is this really about? Because as I was telling... Cam earlier too, I was just like, I see why Brennan kind of tapped out around this time.
Sure.
I was just like, I get it.
Yeah.
It's not super, super exciting. You're bringing in, if they bring in these two new classmates and then they don't do anything either, they're just like, now they're having fun, they're getting laughed at too. I'm like, all right, I don't really care for this shit anymore.
Right.
I'm like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like, yeah, you don't.
No, like I said, like my middle school like friend group, like there was like four or five of us that would hang out or whatever. And like I said, we just like to, I mean, we're just doing dumb shit. Like, that was mostly what we were doing. Like, I probably would have been obsessed with Irena, the teacher. I'd just be like, what she's about.
Yeah,
like,
we would have called her Miss Gotabody. we had a teacher at a school called Miss Gotabody before. So it was just like, yo, y'all call her Miss Bitch? I ain't going to call her that. I want to get my chance to process.
No, I'm going to be nice.
Yeah.
No, I don't know that we would have figured it out just because even so, like, because even within that group, like, we had our own bickering and dynamics and, you know, our issues or whatever. But, like, we would have given it a try, but I don't think we would have figured it out. Because, you know, even looking back now, I'm just like, man, I was doing dumb shit. And, you know, I feel like that's just part of aging, too. Like, you look back now and like shit I was doing 10 years ago, I'm like, I wish I knew now sort of stuff. But I don't think we would have had it together enough, like as seventh or eighth graders, to be able to kill this sort of intergalactic monster or whatever the hell he is. So no, I don't think we would have done it.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Irene got pretty drunk with their students. You know, they brought her in. It was like, come on, talk to us, hang out with us. We just want to get to know you a little bit more. And she almost gave the students some dirty details. Did you think the teacher overshared or got too personal? Or do you have a teacher that overshared with you growing up or got too personal with you?
Luckily, in high school, like for like my, you know, early education, no. Like, but once I got into college, shit changed a little bit. Like, I don't know what, because I've heard all sorts of stories. I won't get into necessarily everybody's, but like personally, I had some film professors. Mm. I don't want to necessarily mention names or like put anything out there. Mm. Overall, like they were pretty cool. Like I enjoyed their classes. They were very they were into like art, film art, like stuff that like, okay, we're gonna put this in like an installation sort of stuff. Like not like, oh, we're gonna make Star Wars or whatever. Which is partially why I kind of ended up transferring out of that program, because it felt like it was more about making a piece of artwork, which is like admirable. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to like shit on people making art for their using their film to make art. At the end of the day, I remember thinking like, well, I want a job. Yeah. That's why I'm here in college. So let me go into a different program. All that to say, I had these two professors. They were kind of a team, and they would just to talk about them. I remember they took us to go see one of their film installations at like in a museum that was there, and like both of them were like fully nude in the video and like into some weird stuff. Like it was out there, like they were talking like gibberish because it was like to have a point, like there was some sort of like artistic expression, which I gotta be honest, I didn't get. They were like chill, but also I didn't really get their work. And they would bring in like speakers or whatever that had like really bizarre stuff, including a guy that had a video that cut to him masturbating at one point. There was another guy that was doing like a photo installation. He was like kind of clicking through his different slides. And then on one slide, it was, I'm trying to think it just is what it is. It was shit. It was numbered shit. Like, so there was like,
I'm sorry, Ron.
A pile of shit. Number one, another pile of shit. Number two, up to like 30. And we were all just like, what the fuck is this? What is this? And he was just like, so yeah, like, so this is my shit. I took a shit on this piece of paper every day and I numbered it to chronicle my shit, and it was about this, that, and the other, and like it's all that kind of
was
like,
was it about like diet or something, like what he was eating or at least?
I guess it was about, yeah, the point of the installation I think was to be like talking about like, here's what we put in our bodies and here's how it comes out sort of thing. But like it's that type of art where it's just like people put a urinal in a museum and be like, this is art, man. And like I was just like, I don't really, this is a lot. This is a lot for me, because I was just like, hey, I like Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. I want to study film because I want to make movies. And then I got into that program. I'm like, oh, this is some like out there like artist shit. So like it was cool. Some people, I like they got something out of it. For me, I was just like, you know, I don't think this program's for me. I ended up transferring out. They were very, another quick story is like one of the first classes I had with them. They did a lecture and like had the class like break up into groups to like do this discussion work and like and answer some questions. And I was like, I was thirsty. So I was just like, oh guys, like I'll be right back. I walk up to the professor and I'm just like, hey, can we go out for a drink? And her response was, oh, I don't date students. I was like, I meant, can I go to the vending machine and just like get a soda and come back? She was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But she immediately went to like, oh, this 18-year-old student is asking me out. And it wasn't a no. It was, I just don't date students.
Wow.
So, yeah. No, so that whenever I think of teachers that overshare, that was them.
Do you know these professors?
No, I don't think. I didn't
They would have been.
I didn't go to. You went to VPA?
That was in the VPA program.
Yeah,
and then I switched over to Newhouse.
Right, okay.
Yeah. First.
I will say the nudity was a lot.
Look, art film schools, though, that's a thing.
I ain't topping that. So I got to just ask some questions.
Feel free.
Bro, first of all.
I'm not going to try to endanger anybody's job. I even have some stuff I can tell you off air that was even crazier, to be honest with you.
But my thing is it's like, I don't think I would even have the guts to show my students nudity of me. maybe of somebody else, but this, yeah.
Like I said, every time it was a surprise because I'm just like watching something, I'm just like, oh, that dude's got his dick out. Oh shit, that's the teacher down there.
Because to me, that would be like, yo, I feel like the professor's trying to shoot his shot at us. Like that, I ain't lie to you. But like, all right, he's trying to show himself. I don't know if he's into guys or girls, and if he might be into both. He might be like, hey man, look, professor, you know what? I kind of like what I saw after. And then that's when somebody might shoot. He might have got some ass off of that before. Because to me, I'm not let me tell you something. This doesn't have anything to do
those
with
two professors were a couple. By the way.
Oh, they were a couple.
They were a couple.
Okay. So I didn't, this is not about professors from what I'm about to say right now, but mm-hmm. I went to, Janelle had one of her films and a film festival. It was a LGBTQ plus film festival, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like an all girls section where they showed videos of just like, which is all female creators, right? And there was like three films that were just orgies.
What?
And it had dialogue in there. Like, it was like, you know, we should be able to be free sexually. But I've never been to a film festival,
man,
where they showed full-on fucking and eating out and face writing at a film festival. Like, at a film festival, normally is PG-13. You might get a little bit of killing with some R in there.
Yeah. It depends on the kind of film festival. But yeah, no, I get you. Usually that stuff is like very much like you're warned ahead of time that these are going to be shown.
Right. So that's the thing. I was watching it. I'm just like, okay. And here's the thing.
All right.
This is majority women. I think there was one trans person in there doing something too. But I even for like watching women, I was still kind of just like, this is a lot. And so after I asked Janelle, I was like, hey, did you get an email? But I'm saying, man, like, hey, like, this is going to be kind of like
little raunchy.
Little rated MA.
Yeah.
Because I think there might have been, because at least when I was at that festival, I feel like there was like younger people walking around in that festival. I don't know if they necessarily went into that screening or not, but I feel like there was people that was at least 16, 15, 14 that was there hanging around, maybe even a little younger, that was walking around at least, which is fine, of course. But to watch that, even I was kind of just like, dog, this is hard. This is literally a damn near a porno that I'm watching
it
right now.
Like, yeah, that, if you've got full on.
And so when I'm watching somebody being like, you know, when somebody goes like, this is my art, it's like, I'm always kind of like, all right, man, what is this, man? Like, you this could have been, you didn't have to show me different ways of you fucking. Unless you're like, yo, this is called the Kama Sutra. I'm like, all right, cool. This is what I'm coming
then
into.
Then you know what you're going into.
I know what I'm going into. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So that was just like, that's what that reminded me of when you said it. It was just like these two people just having these intertwining moments. And, you know, this is what it is. It was like this older lady. She was like 60 or 50. And she was having like sex with these like 20, 22-year-olds. And I'm just like, bro, I know for a fact, if this is an older 55, 65-year-old guy fucking these 21-year-olds, this will be a problematic film right now.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. But yeah. I was just like, this shit is just weird looking. It's just like, yeah, and it's not about their lifestyle. It's just like, yo, I wasn't ready, man.
You weren't ready to be.
You wanted a heads up.
Yeah.
You would have given me a heads up. Like, all right, cool. I'm here for the butt nakedness.
And that's all we wanted in the class, too. Because, like, I remember the guy showing us a video at one point where he's just like, it seemed like it was a coming of age about just like, hey, I'm going back home for the first time in a long time. I'm thinking about all these things. I'm trying to, like, you know, come to terms with a lot of who I am at this point in my life. And I remember it cut to this graphic of, like, these, like, almost like it looked like CGI, like balls, like not like testicles, but like balls. It'll get there. Like kind of circling on the screen and like kind of like coalescing into this image. And when it finally snapped into focus, it was a dude masturbating. And if I remember right, like finished with him ejaculating. And we're just like, what
are we supposed
this?
To learn from this?
Bro,
that's my
at
thing.
18. That's honestly, that can fuck you up.
It was weird.
Like, because in some cases, like, I didn't realize this, but until I got a little older myself, but there's a lot of people in college, freshmen, sophomores, and juniors, and sometimes seniors, they're not having sex yet. They're still not having, so a fresh 18-year-old might not have ever even seen anything yet, and this is their first, like, is this a dude being like, ah! Like,
bam. Not everybody was cool with it, I will say that. It was a lot.
Was there any complaints?
I didn't hear. Well, I just know that just in talking with the other students, the people were just like, "What the fuck? Like, what the hell was that about?" Kind of thing. Like, I don't remember anybody like walking out or being like, they couldn't handle it. But I do remember when we were making some like end of the year projects, people were just like parodying it and just being like, I remember like somebody made a film where they were just making different like phallic symbols with like different fruits and stuff and just like taking bricks and smashing them and just being like, is this what you want? Like it was out there.
That's funny. So that's how you make light of it. And be like, all right, this is what you want to do to us? All right, yeah. I'm gonna fuck with your shit since you wanna fuck with my mental in a sense.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So I guess so my little thing wasn't a personal getting personal from the teacher, but I do remember my homegirl told me that one of our professors did holler at her.
Oh, really?
Literally, she's like, yo, she needed a book for his class and she couldn't find it. And she's like, oh, you know, he's like, oh, I got it. He's like, no problem. I'll pick it up from you the next class day. And he's like, no, I can come drop it off.
Oh, boy.
And she's just like, you know, sometimes, I know it's don't get some women sometimes, but she's like, oh, all right, no problem. She's thinking nothing's an issue with it. And then he comes by and he's like giving her the book and he's just like, ooh, you know, you looking beautiful today. You looking just off the chart. And she's like, oh, you know, thank you. He's just like, you know, I got to give credit when credit's due, you know. So, you know, what's up? And she's just like, you know, it's nothing. He's like, all right, no. Just no disrespect, you know. See you in class, you know. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're beautiful, whatever. And I'm just like, that was a lot.
I'm sure that's not his first nor his last time.
Oh, I'm sure. If he did that, in my case, in that particular case, I feel like he's definitely won. Like he's definitely gotten
sure.
one before.
Oh yeah,
because this particular girl, she was. I see why he shot a shot. Like for sure, I get it. But it was just like, so that was
I mean, it's some for sure predatory.
Yeah, for sure. But I wasn't gonna top you, Rob. I'm sorry. Like that was pause. I wasn't gonna top. I wasn't gonna beat your story. That's fucking crazy.
Honestly, it's one of those things that I look back and I'm like, yeah, that shit really happened.
Man, that is a all right, man.
Yeah.
What's her name? I just had it pulled up. Katie. I guess her name's Katie or Kate. Katie. Mm-hmm. Is Katie.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Kazumaki or whatever it was.
Yeah,
the popular girl.
Kazumaki Katie, I think her name is. Something like that. So she, you know, she had the moment where he said she rebelled against her parents or whatever the case may be. Was there a moment at any point in time in your life that you actually like rebelled heavily against your parents? Because you know, I don't necessarily want to count the time I got into a physical altercation with my dad. That wasn't necessarily us rebelling. It was, but it wasn't like, you know, like, you won't let us do this, so now we're going to do this over here.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything like that. My dad was fairly loose with us in the sense of, like, what you can do.
Yeah.
As long as your grades were pretty good, my dad was like, you can go ahead and go to a party. You can go ahead and hang out with your friends a little bit later. You can go ahead and hang out with girls and whatever the case may be. So for me personally, I didn't necessarily have a chance to really fully rebel against my parents to where, like, I started drinking or smoking or anything like that. You know, I don't think my dad gave me the free range to do it.
Yeah.
But it was just like, yo, like, these are the consequences. If you want to do it, you ain't going to live here.
Yeah.
And if I catch you doing it in my house, I'm fucking you up. But, like, it wasn't like, you know, like, you guys can't even see this type of stuff. I'm going to keep you away from, like, a preacher's kid. And then, you know, preacher's kids
always go. Sheltered or whatever.
And yeah, that's the word I'm looking for, sheltered. How about you? Was there anything where you just like, all right.
It was never, like... I mean, yeah, I definitely, like, even with that group of, like, middle school friends that I was talking about earlier, we would get into some trouble and, like, you know, do some shit we shouldn't have been doing or we were too young to be doing. Nothing crazy. But, like, yeah, no, I never had a time where I was just like, fuck you, mom and dad. Like, you don't get me. Like, you know, like, that was just never really, I don't remember having a time where I was like that. Because, like, some people, like, them and their parents do not get along.
Yeah.
Me and my parents, for the most part, like, we've always been cool. Like, I don't remember ever being like, they're holding me back. Like,
fuck you, mom.
You know, so, yeah. Like, it's just but I will say, was there ever a time where I would just do hood rat shit with my friends? Yeah, a little bit. Like, we would hang out. We would go, like, we had the friends. We had the friend that was like, we can go over there. We can get away with just about anything.
Yeah.
So like, we would definitely do some dumb shit or just like whatever. Where we would like we had these like really bad like they weren't even like automatic or semi-automatic, but like paintball guns that were like the pump and shoot.
Yeah.
And we knew where the trains would go by, and we'd like hide out in the weeds, and as like the trains go by, we'd just shoot them up with paintballs or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like we'd find fireworks and just like light them off and like run or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, dumb shit like that. A little bit of, you know, dabbling in some stuff we probably shouldn't have been in, but like, you know, for the most part, nothing crazy. My mom was always just like, my goal was to get you through high school without getting you in cuffs.
Yeah.
And that happened. So, it was nothing crazy like that.
I mean, yeah, that's what we're talking about then. Yeah, I used to steal and vandalize all the time. You know?
Yeah, shit like that. Yeah. We're just like trying to do trouble.
Yeah, we shit in people's yards before.
Oh, yeah.
We broke people's windows and shit like that on purpose. Like, we used to throw oranges at people's windows and break them. And, you know, we used to fuck up people's cars here and there and stuff like that. But, like, yeah, it was never, like, the same thing. It was never, like, you know, my dad won't let me just... That's what I hit on my friends, Dad. Like, you can't get with your friends. Like, well, fuck you.
Yeah,
was never that. It was just always just like, all right, even the time I, like, ran away from home was because it was, like, abuse. I was like, well, fuck you, that motherfucker. I was pissed off, but it wasn't because he wouldn't let me do something. It was just, like, literally, my dad was an alcoholic, so it was just like, I'm fucking out of here. So,
If I had said too much, my shit would have been not cool. It would have been.
Yeah.
It would not have gone well.
Yeah, I mean, I literally was like, all right, see where you can live after this, then. You want to talk this way.
You ain't talking
to me in this house like that. And, you know, I was damn near on the street for a full day. And then luckily my friend's parents came home. I was like, oh, thank God, it's so cold out here. Oh, thank God. And let me get you something to eat, some hot cocoa or some shit like that.
Right.
So we got a couple of hints about Coral's history now. All right. Mm. What is your current theory of his origins? We got that little hint towards the end about, you know, having, what, two legs or whatever.
Two legs.
Yeah. That was big, and I was wondering. I'm making sure we all caught that, but yeah.
What would you? Well, there's that, and the other moment that really stuck out to me is when the principal showed up and was just like, "Oh man, must be sad to be you, this person that thought they were gonna save the world, and now you're like the whole villain, like threatening to destroy it." Which made me think that like he even knows something more about Koro that we haven't learned yet.
Yeah,
and I think it's something that we were talking about where it's just like, is this dude like a scientist? That like, to me, that's where I think it leans even more into that at this point, where like maybe Koro was some ultra smart scientist that was just like, if I make this potion or whatever, I can turn myself into a superhero or give myself powers or whatever, you know, kind of like a Bruce Banner thing. He did it on himself to test, and it turned him into this horrible looking monster or whatever. Mm. And now, and maybe there's some accident that hurt this woman that we've seen in some flashbacks, right? Yeah. And now he's just like, all right, I need to, must have taught him some lesson where he, I don't know exactly how yet, obviously, but like, it must have stressed the importance of education and being a teacher. And like, if I can pass this knowledge on to other kids, it will prevent them from doing what I did.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something like that where he was trying to help the world in a way, and that he's just like, even maybe it's a situation where he's just like, I tried to help in a nonviolent way, but they won't fucking listen.
Yeah.
Unless I do this shit.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. I don't know.
I wonder is he a former Class E teacher? You know, and this is him doing his due diligence.
Yeah, because he was teaching him last year.
Yeah. So, I do wonder now if he's a former teacher, even if it's not from last year, beforehand, you know, just came from that history of that, whatever. And now this is him going there and be like, look, they're not as bad as people say they are. Like, we can be something. We don't have to be just the scum of the scum at this fucking school. We're smarter than this. All we need is that fair shake in the sense of a teacher. You know what I'm saying? And when it comes to education. It goes back to that. I think he, for his origin, it feels like either he might have been one. Now I feel like we know that he was human.
Yeah.
Right. He was human. And I do think that he was probably either a scientist or a former professor or a teacher at that school. And they tested on him and it fucked up. And he's kind of on some like, yo, I'm going to fuck this place up if y'all don't let.
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be.
I even wonder if maybe he was in Class 3E at one point or something like that.
Yeah.
And like he was just so angry about what happened to him. He's like, I'll fucking show them. Kind of thing. And he came up with some sort of concoction that was supposed to do something and it turned on him. I don't know.
That's a little bit more intriguing to stay watching
that's
the show.
That's the most interesting thing about this show to me right now is who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, because now we know that he's something. It's just not some alien that came.
Something happened to him.
Something happened to him. And what was the freak accident? And if it's stupid, I'm going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
If you put me through 20 something episodes and you could have gave me 12 of this and got the same point across, I'm going to be fucking upset.
Yeah.
I'm going to be heated.
I'm not going to lie. That might happen.
Yeah. It honestly might happen for real. So last question. Out of all the assassin movies that you've seen, do you think anybody can take out Koro?
Who do you got?
Man, I was just going to do a three-way team.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Go for it.
Or if you can use the same people if you want to use them. Number one, Black Widow. I just feel like Black Widow is highly intelligent.
Yep.
She's not going to go about it traditionally, just trying to shoot this guy in the fucking head. She's gonna be all right. Let's come up with a master fucking plan. John Wick.
Gotta. Yeah. First person that came to mind.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say John Wick because knife work, gun work.
Yep.
Planner too.
Yep.
Get shit done. And I think like it goes back to like him having people all over the globe, in a sense, well, before, I guess, spoiler alert, John Wick 3 or whatever it was, where shit got out of hand, where he's on the run. Mm. But, like, you know, he has, like, the homeless people, like, kind of sitting and chilling, and assassins are everywhere, in a sense.
He's got his sources or whatever.
He had his sources. And then Jason Bourne. Those are the three that I feel like
can That's a good one, yeah, because he can blend in.
Yeah, and I feel like he's smart, too. Just, like, it's not about, like, trying to get you shot. He's going to do stuff like... Your computer is like, oh, I'm on a computer today. Boom, and shit blows up, and it's whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
Type stuff. So I feel like those are my three. Or put something in his drink to where it's like, it is that stuff, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I can see that.
So do you have anybody or team, however you want to do it? It doesn't matter.
No, I'm just trying to think of, because John Wick was definitely on my list. Yeah. Definitely some figure, because, you know, he's got, I love that stuff where it's just like, I'm retired, but then he's got to come back and do that. I mean, I haven't seen all the John Wick movies, but...
Oh, you haven't yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
It's one of my blind spots, but I've enjoyed the ones I've seen.
Thor's coming out soon, too, I think.
Yeah, I saw that. That'd be great, but thinking of Marvel, somebody else that I thought of when you were talking about Black Widow, the Winter Soldier. I would absolutely get, because he definitely has the knife work.
Yeah.
He's a ghost. Like, he pops in and out. He's, you know, especially when he was on the, you know, in the back in the day type stuff, like, he was a killer.
Yeah.
And that dude never let anybody get away. Except for, the one guy that beat the shit out of Bucky from Falcon and Winter Soldier, the second Captain America that they had on there. Did you see that? Did you see Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Yeah, you talking about the dude that he ended up taking the
Isaiah
serum?
Bradley,
yeah.
I think is his name.
He was the one that got beat up by the Dora Milaje, and then he took the serum after that?
No, that dude, fuck that dude, John Walker.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the old guy, the black dude in
yeah.
that they
oh,
tracked
oh,
down.
Oh, the OG, the, yeah, the, yeah,
who,
yeah, yeah,
who they
yeah,
were
the
just
original,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Because he was just like, yeah, tell the Winter Soldier, like, I'm the one that, you know, gave him the work or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
I ripped his
I
fucking arm off
reference.
In the 70s.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
Like, that's the one time that I've heard of anybody giving Bucky the business.
Yeah.
Other than, like, Cap.
Black yeah. Widow does it in the Winter Soldier movie.
I guess so, but she's like,
her and Cap are the only ones
terrified of him.
This is true.
He shot her because she
yeah.
even says, like, oh, this is why I can't wear a bikini.
No, yeah,
and you're just
100%.
Like, yeah, fucking right. You could still pull off a bikini. Get out of here. Come on.
Come on, Scarlett Jo.
What are we doing?
Don't bullshit us.
What are we doing?
Tiny little bullet mark on the hip. You can wear tire cut
yeah.
bikinis.
You think any guy's going to look at you and be like, oh, that's a bullet wing? We're like, oh, that's a bullet? Well, shit. All right. What's up?
But to also stay in the Marvel Universe, I'm sending the Punisher after this dude. Because, like, I remember, like,
he'll figure out a way.
He will figure out a way. Dude is relentless. I remember there was a while back in, like, college, like, my buddies and I, we used to watch, like, parkour videos. And I used to be like, man, nobody can catch these dudes. Like, you can't get away from it. Like, there's nothing you can get through the city. And then, like, have you guys seen Punisher Warzone?
Mm-hmm.
That's the movie? Or?
Yeah, it's a movie. It's like a very over-the-top, super violent
yeah.
Punisher movie, which I guess they all are.
Was it the second one that came out?
It's the one that's it's not starring
what?
Thomas Jane. It's
yeah.
the one, I forget, Ray something.
I haven't seen it in so long.
But I actually really enjoyed that one. I know some people aren't fans of it. It's just, like, over-the-top ridiculous and, like, listening to an interview with the director, this person's just that she was just it was the director was just like, I can't, like, people are mad at me saying, like, oh, like, this isn't Punisher, this is like, I a lot of these are taken from Punisher comics, like, I just put up Punisher comics on the screen. Mm-hmm. And there's one moment where, like, they've got these, like, parkour dudes, like, running through the city, and one of them fucking explodes, and he's just like, and then they cut to the Punisher, like, on a rooftop with, like, a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
Like,
oh.
He will go the
I was like,
distance,
because I remember watching, I'm like, oh, they're gonna, I don't know how he's gonna get away from these dudes. They got the parkour things, and then just Boom! But that movie ends with like a raid level, like they've stacked a building full of like just the worst killers and gangsters and criminals and yada yada, and Punisher's got to make his way through, and it's fucking dope. I just love that movie.
Oh, I'm in that. If you, that's because that raid was hard for that.
Yeah, it's like, it's definitely not like a good movie, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If you just want to watch a dude just like go absolutely fucking
nuts.
There's
not a whole lot of thinking involved.
No, it's just crazy violence.
Sometimes those are just fun
to watch.
Sometimes
you need to just tune out.
Yeah. Somebody said Psylocke.
Oh, Psylocke would be cool.
Psylocke would be good, yeah.
Yeah, somebody said Dave.
Psychic, I wonder if you could get him. Is he like impervious to mental attacks?
Who is it?
The one guy we're talking about?
Koro? I don't think so.
Yeah, so I wonder if you could bring someone like that in there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Somebody with like psychic powers.
Put him to sleep forever.
Mob's too chill. Mob is too chill to be cutthroat like that. But you give like Professor X.
I was
maybe.
Gonna say someone super powerful like that, they could take him out.
Yeah, I feel like if we're going in the realm of just like any hero, I think he's easy work. Somebody said Killmonger. King Mike said Killmonger.
Yeah, I could see that.
Somebody said Black Widow was solo on.
Wow.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Surf Spectacular said he was a parkour dude.
Man, I believe it.
What don't you do, man? What don't you do? I just know I ain't fucking with you on the fight tip in that sense. Because it's like, you out here parkouring and you got the sword work and shit. You essentially a fucking ninja samurai. I
no Crazy for Life says said Deathstroke amongst some other people. I think that's a great choice. Deathstroke would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's definitely some people that would give Koro a run for his money.
Yeah. All right. So those are the questions for this week.
Spectacular says, I can't sing. That's funny.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to say, fine. You bet not be able to. You can do every fucking thing else. So, all right. Let's give our likes, dislikes, our overall scores and stuff like that for this one. Likes and dislikes. I guess now that we got some knowledge about where he might come from.
Yeah.
Finally something. But this show was getting redundant and boring to me at a point in time. I was watching this, just like, this shit is, why? I wish I could just turn the speed up to 1.75 to get through this shit faster. Because it just wasn't really doing much for me. And now that these two new assassins, I'm kind of intrigued by them.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, the dislike was just like, yeah, it's just the stakes. To me, I don't really think there's real stakes here. I don't think he's going to, unless in his next stretch of episodes he does something or kills somebody or like blows something up, then I'll be like, all right, cool. The stakes are there now. He's going to actually blow up the Earth, because you keep cutting back to the moon. I don't really care about. I know the moon is important to Earth in a sense.
Right.
But it's just like, in the grand scheme of things in this anime, I don't give a fuck about the moon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not. And they're not even saying, here's the thing, he blew up part of the moon. They're not even saying how that's affecting people.
It should be. Like, shit would be cataclysmic if 70% of the moon went away.
I wish they would talk about that.
Our tides would be fucked up. Like, the gravitational pull. Like, the reason we, like, spin is partly to do with the moon.
Our seasons would be all over the place.
Our seasons have to do with the moon. Like, a lot of what happens here naturally on Earth is tied to the moon.
They're not mentioning any of that.
None.
Shit. It's literally, like, the life is just happening. This is always a fucking little whatever, the moon man face.
He wouldn't have to destroy the Earth in a year. We would be fucked with 70% of the moon gone.
There it is. So
it would be a wrap already.
Maybe that's the twist.
You know? Yeah, right? It's already done.
You shouldn't be fighting me. You should be figuring out how to fix the moon.
Right.
So it's like, the show is, these first episodes to me weren't necessarily that interesting. Like I said, it caught me towards the end. For me, I'll give these a 5,800 for these particular four. And hopefully these next four. And are we doing a vote after this? Or
yeah, we can. I mean, there's only the two of us, but
I guess not. Well, all right. Well, what do you got?
No, I agree with a lot of what you said. There's not really a lot that's making me want to like keep going with the show, and just that like there's not that a lot that pulls me in. Like the episodes are fine. Like I even think the comedy is like not bad. There's a couple times I'm like, oh, huh, you know, that's silly. Like, you know, get a little chuckle out of me or whatever.
Mm.
What I like about the show is that, I'll say this, it's so very different from a lot of the other things that we've watched for this podcast.
True.
And in that regard, I find it like, okay, cool. It's interesting to me to watch something that's so different. Mm. That being said, I'm not sure that I'm I like it.
Yeah.
You know, like, because even just trying to even come up with questions, it felt like I'm not finding a lot to sink my teeth into on an episode by episode basis. So I think to me the most interesting thing, like we were talking about, is finding out where Koro's origins are and when he gets serious, and like whether he gets like whether he's threatening people or when he is getting sad about his past. That's when the show is like finds that other element that I feel like is missing.
Right.
Because yeah, like we were saying, it doesn't feel like there's any stakes or any emotional drama. I don't feel like every episode at this point, I know the formula. We're going to find one of the students is we're going to meet a student. They're going to have some problem and Koro's going to help them through it to the point where it's like almost every episode is like two mini episodes slammed together.
Right.
Like there's not even that enough content in one episode to really like let them get 22 minutes out of something.
Yeah.
So that said, like, I got to be honest, like if we were voting, I would kind of reluctantly vote to keep going. If anything, more about a like a you get three strikes sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't find a way to make the show interesting after introducing even more assassin student characters after already putting, which they already have kind of done with Karma.
Yep.
If they don't find a way to make it work with two more of that, I just don't think it's going to get there for me.
Yeah.
That said, I think it was, I gave this a 5,000 last week. I'm gonna bump it down. I got to give it a 4,500. Just because it's like fine. You know what I mean?
What did I give it last week?
I think we were around the same. You might have given it a little bit higher than me, I think. But we were pretty close.
It shouldn't be higher than last week if that's my score.
I think you were, because me and Brendan, I think, both gave it a 5,000. I think you were a little bit higher than us, but I don't remember if it was by much. It might have been around a 5,800 last time, too.
So let me
5,855.
Let me give it a strong 5,000, then we go down to a strong 5,000. Because yeah, it shouldn't be, these at least the first four were better than these last four, in my personal opinion. So,
okay.
Just because it was something new. So, all right, cool. We'll see where we'll go from here. It's like, all right, if it can go get better, and it didn't get better to me, so.
Oh, wait, sorry. Another thing that I think that is sort of interesting is introducing the principal character.
True, yes.
When he's on screen, I'm just like, okay, here's a villain. Here's a dude that gets in the way, and I want to see him and Koro kind of, like, be at odds and go up against each other, because I'm just like, this seems to be the only guy that has any sort of plan that could actually fuck with what Koro's doing.
And that's another thing as of right now. We're watching this show, and Koro's clearly not a villain to us.
Yeah.
He's not presented as a villain, even though they're saying he's going to blow up the Earth. And right now, we don't have a clear-cut villain. And right now, it possibly might be the principal in that sense. So it's just like, that's another thing that's like, give us something to latch on the good and evil side. It'd be like, all right. Because we still don't even know why he's going to really, really do this. It's just like, if you go, yeah. If it was like, yo, you guys fucked my body up.
Yeah.
You did this to me. And if you don't give me the chance to either teach these kids, because I always wanted to be a teacher or whatever the hell he wanted to do, I'm going to blow this fucking planet up.
Yeah.
Since you did this to me. Or I'm giving you guys this much time for them to try to kill me, but I'm also going to give you guys time to figure out a fucking cure. I don't know. What something.
Yeah.
But if they don't give us a clear-cut villain, I think in the next stretch or two.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to probably be like, I'm not going to have anything for me personally to latch onto to care about.
Right. And it's like, that's why I like, yeah, that's why I say for me, it's a 4,500. Like it's a show that is like, I can't say that it's bad. Because I think I could see people latching onto this and being like, I enjoy seeing the kids like kind of have their personal journeys. It's just, it's not for me, I think, right now.
Okay. Well, right now, let me tell you something.
Well,
fans, y'all, we give y'all a chance to vote, man. We give you guys a chance to do something good. And as of right now, you might lose another battle. Because y'all gave us Kuroko no basket. Y'all did that. You did. Remember that. You got to go to sleep with that at night. Now you're giving us Assassination Classroom. And right now, this shit is looking very under mid-ish. Not even mid-ish.
Ass class.
Yeah, ass class.
Somebody in the Patreon called it that last week.
Whoever said that in the Patreon, shout out to you, because this is feeling like ass class. And if this keeps going the same route, we're going to probably have a battle between who was the worst, this or Kuroko. And, yo, we want y'all to win.
It's true.
We want y'all to win. It's just like, if y'all gonna keep picking like this, we can't give y'all a pick. We can't do this.
We should have given them better options, I guess.
We should have given y'all better.
We were the people that we.
You know what? The next time we do options for fan vote, everything is 12 episodes max.
Yeah, that's
so we're not
stuck.
We're not stuck to possibly have to do 20 something episodes, and this shit is just brutal to get through.
I'll tell you this much: if this stretch, if it's not another, like, if the score for me doesn't improve over these four, I'm voting. Let's get the hell out.
Get out of here.
Let's bail.
Abort. All right, you guys. So next week, we'll be continuing with episodes 9 through 12. For y'all's sake, hope it's good.
We'll see.
We'll see. Hopefully some more of the squad is back. And then I think doesn't the Dragon Ball movie come out after that?
It does. It does. We'll have to see. We'll talk about
it. You were still able to avoid spoilers.
I think I've seen some stuff at this point. I don't know like what happens, but I think I've basically seen like the forms that people get.
Okay.
I've seen some pictures.
Okay. I was about to say, like, if you guys avoided fucking full on spoilers, y'all must be like, y'all are doing a great job.
At this point, I think I'm like, I kind of have some expectations of what might happen, but I don't know everything.
Okay. Cause even on my, like, when I'm on the animation page, it's for sure there. But even on my personal page, I'm just like, and I have anime stuff on there too, but I'm just like, it pops up on there.
Yeah.
It pops up on my, like, my YouTube. It pops up on my fucking Google has popped it up.
Really?
Google, for some reason now, like, I guess it's learned my patterns. So it'll be like, when I put Google on my phone, it'll give me 49er news that it doesn't normally give me. It'll be like, yo, the 49ers just signed Deebo Samuels.
I got
you. And I'm just like, Google never showed me any of this shit. This is what happened in the Super Super movie. I'm just like, wait, why is Google doing this shit?
Yeah.
So it's been literally popping on my browser on my phone. I don't know if yours does that.
No, it hasn't for me yet. Luckily.
But yeah, it's
I think the movie is out the 18th, so we wouldn't be able to watch it for a couple more episodes. But
yeah,
I think we can watch it before I gotta head out of town, because there's a stretch where I'll have to step away because I'll be on vacation.
Yeah. So yeah, man, we'll be covering episodes 9 through 12 next week. Hopefully, we got some more of the squad back. Drop our handles. We got bitch ass Brennan at Brennan Produces. We got ho ass Ice at Ice.McGowan. We got myself, Keenan Baker, on everything. K-E-N-A-N Baker on every single thing. Look out for two shows that I'll be on. It'll be Gimme Five, BT's show. He has a show coming out on the Kev on Stage app.
And, yes, check that out.
Also, Keisha E's Black Card, is it Black Card Revoke, right? Or
Black Card Off Layaway.
Black Card Off Layaway, I'm sorry. Black Card Off Layaway, Keisha E's show on Kev on Stage's app. When is that? Do you know when that's hitting the streets?
I do not. Cam, do you know?
This fall,
that'll be hitting the streets.
All right, there you go.
Fun-ass episodes.
The set looked incredible.
The set was great.
The
set was great. I was actually on one full episode that I'm actually competing on, and then the other ones you'll see my face in there floating around from time to time, so it's a good time. Yep. I was there for most of those episodes of that show. Hell of a time. Great damn show. Fun, funny, everything. So make sure y'all get that Kev on Stage app, man, and watch those shows, stream those shows when they come out, man.
Yeah.
Rob?
Just again, going to shout out Tiger's Coffee brand. We got it here on display if you're watching the video. Moto Militant Coffee and
Moto
Tea.
Moto Militant.
Like I said, on my third cup, very caffeinated, but yeah. It's good stuff. Also going to shout out, I've given these guys a shout out before, but they're good buddies of mine, the X-Boys podcast, X-B-O-Y-Z. Check them out. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can also find them on Instagram at XBoysPod. But I'm going to be on their episode, which drops next Tuesday, which is, I know this is releasing, depending on whenever you're listening, the episode is out August 9th, 2022. We're going to be covering the two-parter episodes, Days of Future Past. Bishop shows up, goes into the past to try and stop the mutant apocalypse from happening. So not the mutant apocalypse, though he is involved. But yeah, listen in. I'll be on there for that episode, and give him a listen.
Hey, so we'll thank y'all. We think you'll tune in to another episode. The Vanimation. We are out.
And so anime was solved forever.